Okay, welcome to Module 6. This is Weighing and Measuring, and this will be a rather short module, or shorter module, so we'll get through it pretty quickly. And again, weighing and measuring, these are skills that you will get a visual of. We are just speaking on the background. So it says accuracy is important in everything you do. Objectives include demonstrating procedures for weighing residents, demonstrating procedures for measuring residents, and identifying fluid measurements. So let's go over to page 48. So part one says weighing and measuring. Changes in weight and height may indicate health problems, right? First chapter, residents are weighed and measured when they are admitted to the facility and periodically thereafter. Accuracy is important. Changes may indicate health problems. Learn to use the scales in your facility safely and correctly. The most commonly used equipment for weighing and measuring is the standing balance scale with a measuring rod. For residents who cannot stand, there are bed, wheelchair, and mechanical lift scales. So this is going to talk about some weight forms of weighing and weight measurements and height measurements and fluid measurements. I will give just a little bit of background on why weight and height is important, and then we'll just go through the rest of this. So like they said, rapid or gradual changes in weight and height can be the indication of a problem, particularly with weight, right? So we know that the amount of fluid in your body contributes to your weight, right? So in the cases where, let's say, someone has a lot of fluid buildup, or someone is gaining weight really rapidly, that could be some indication that there is something dysfunctional in the body. Also, when patients are sick or have diarrhea and they are losing a lot of weight quickly, or they may have some, you know, systemic illness, maybe like something we mentioned in the previous chapter that's causing their body to lose a lot of weight quickly or not absorb food well. These all, like I said, can be indicators that there's something wrong in the body, right? So weight and height measurements are very, very important. These are skills that will be completed by you, communicated to the nurse, and usually we get the most information for them by trending them, which means comparing one to the other and tracking it day by day. So if a patient weighed 150 pounds on Monday and by the end of the week they're at 120 pounds, we do not expect a 30-pound loss in less than a week. That's absurd. We know something is wrong, right? Maybe they're not eating at all. Maybe they're not absorbing any nutrients. Maybe they've had intense diarrhea. I mean, there's something going wrong, right? So you can see how these measurements that you're obtaining are going to be critical in the medical process to identifying any ailments or illnesses that our patients may have. So some guidelines for weighing. Weigh at the same time of day, wear the same weight of clothing, weigh with an empty bladder. So this is not always easy to do, but if a patient is ever having their weight trended, especially on a day-to-day basis, it will be scheduled for the same time. So things like daily weights, especially for patients who are in fluid overload. So let's say this is someone that's retaining a lot of fluid for some reason, and we're trying to diurese or remove that fluid from the patient's body, maybe through diuretics, things like Lasix, or, you know, something of the sort. We're trying to remove that fluid from the body, usually to keep the heart from being overwhelmed. We're going to check their weight the same time every morning, usually early in the morning, just to make sure that the fluid is adequately leaving their body, right? An empty bladder is best because, again, the fluid in your body contributes to what the scale is going to read, right? So weighing, standing balance scale. The resident needs to wear shoes to walk to and from the scale. This is just a safety thing. Follow facility policy regarding footwear during weighing. Following are the steps to weigh on a standing balance scale. Number one, we want to place both weights at zero, so we're going to zero out the scale. Stand next to the scale and assist the resident onto the center of the scale. Number three, we're going to slide the bottom weight until the balance drops and move the weight back one slot. Make sure the resident is not holding on to you or the scale. Number four, slide the top weight until the balance centers. Number five, determine the resident's weight by adding the numbers shown at both weights. Assist the person off the scale or proceed with height measurement if needed. Seven, you're going to chart the weight and report any significant changes. Weight measurement. Healthcare facilities often use the metric system for measurements. Nursing assistants should have basic understanding of the metric system. Most facilities have charts available to help convert, which is another word for change, the measurements. Weight is measured in pounds and ounces or in kilograms. Following are examples of weight and measurements. So in healthcare facilities, you'll usually see kilograms or ounces. You can also see pounds. You just want to be familiar with all of them, and you want to know how they correlate. So one thing that I always have in my mind is 2.2 pounds is the equivalent of 1 kilogram. So if you go to a doctor's office and they get your weight in kilograms, you would have to multiply that number by 2.2 to know how many pounds you weigh. So I know sometimes you'll go, you'll see a lot lower of a number, and you have to think, have I lost that much weight, or is that in kilograms, right? So also we have 16 ounces, the equivalent to 1 pound. 8 ounces is half a pound. 1 pound is 0.45 kg, which is just reverse of 2.2 pounds is 1 kg. And 100 pounds is the equivalent to 45.36 kg. And then it goes on to speak of stones. That's British. We don't use that here in America. Going on over to height measurement. The best time to measure height is when the resident is on the scale for weighing. So a lot of these standing scales will have a feature where you can also take their height. You may have seen this when you go to the doctor's office. It's best to just do both together, like it's saying, if the height is needed. Usually these are obtained, especially height, is going to be obtained in admission. Rare that you're going to need to do this over and over again, but possible. Assist the resident to turn towards you and to stand straight. That's number one. Number two, place the measuring rod level against the top of the resident's head. Number three, read the resident's height. Number four, help the resident off the scale before recording the height. Number five, chart the height and report any changes. So always pay attention to the beginning and the end of these skills. So we're going to always make sure that safety is involved, right? So we're never walking a patient over to a scale barefoot. They can slip and fall. It's not safe. So we want to make sure we're assisting them over to the weighing device or the height measuring device carefully. We're helping them on. If they need assistance or to the level or degree of assistance they need, and that we're always ending this with making sure that we're charting and reporting. So charting means we're documenting the measurement, the amount that we have, and usually we're reporting any changes to the patient, to the nurse. So again, if you do daily weights for this patient and yesterday they were 140 and today they're 164, even if you were not there yesterday, if you're able to maybe track it, whether the charting is done via paper or electronically, usually you can see previous charting. If you say, hey, I see a difference between these two, you're not responsible to fix it. You are just responsible to communicate it to the nurse just to bring their eye to it. Hey, look, they've had a huge, jump in weight overnight. Just wanted to let you know, right? And let them take it from there. It says height is measured in feet and inches or in centimeters. 1 centimeter is equivalent to 0.39 inches. Following are examples of height measurements. So it's explaining kind of the abbreviations that are very common. If you're not familiar with them, if you see IN or if you see that apostrophe mark, the double apostrophe, that's an inch for foot. You're going to see FT or the single. Millimeters is usually abbreviated as MM. CM for centimeters, just an M for meters. And then some conversions. We have 12 inches in 1 foot, 3 foot to 1 yard, 1 meter is 3.28 feet. And again, these are things that you just need to personally take time to memorize. Now, for the residents who are confined to their beds, right? So these are patients that are not able to get up and walk over to a standing scale. Usually, we're going to weigh them in the bed. So a lot of these beds are equipped with bed scales. So that means you can just basically weigh them while they're in the bed. The bed will obtain or, you know, interpret all of the weight that it's reading on that bed and give it to you. Usually, if you're using a bed scale, what's really important is zeroing out the bed. So usually, like when I worked in the hospital, if we had an admission coming in, part of preparing that room for that admission is zeroing out the bed. So when you do that, that means the bed is going to take account all of the things that are already on the bed. So pillows, blankets, chucks, it's going to basically take account all of that and put it to the side so that whenever anything is added to it, the bed is only going to interpret everything that's been added since the last time that you zeroed out the bed, right? So if a patient comes in and they sit on a bed that's been zeroed out, the bed is only going to tell you the weight of the new weight that's been added to the bed, which in this case is the patient. But if you do not zero out the bed, when a patient is in the bed and you get the weight, you're getting the weight of the patient, the blanket, the pillow, the wound vac in the corner, like, all of these things, and it can make the weight highly inaccurate. So usually you're going to learn the steps of how to zero out a bed before you're obtaining a bed weight. And usually you want to do this before admission, before the patient gets into the bed, right? And then it should pretty much stay pretty consistent from there. And again, you can measure a patient with a tape measure in the bed in the case that you have to. Fluid measurements, you may be required to measure the exact amount of fluid intake and output for some resident and to record the fluid in cubic centimeters or milliliters. Following are examples of fluid measurements. So we have cc's, abbreviation for cubic centimeter, ml for milliliter, oz for ounce, and then some conversions. 1 cc is the equivalent of 1 milliliter. This is very important because in the healthcare setting, you will see some fluids or some beverages that will say cc's, some will say mls, and depending on the facility, you may need to document it in one versus the other, just knowing that it is an exact equal exchange. 300 cc's is 300 mls. 242 cc's is 242 mls. Very easy, easy conversion there. 30 cc's, however, is to 1 ounce. So if you're looking at something in ounces and you need to convert it over to cc's, it's going to be important that you notice that there's a conversion that needs to be done there. 5 cc's is to 1 teaspoon, 32 ounces to a quart, and 33.8 ounces to a liter. Many containers used in care facilities are marked with both ounces and cubic centimeters. Most facilities provide conversion charts for fluid measurements and the capacity of containers used in the facility to convert ounces to centimeters. Simply multiply the number of ounces by 30. For example, 16 ounces, which is 1 pint, multiplied by 30 equals 480 cubic centimeters, right? So this is just basic conversions that, again, you would just have to get familiar with and memorize, but usually there will be a cheat sheet in the facility. When it comes to fluid measurement, why this is particularly important, especially for patients who are retaining fluids or we're watching and monitoring their weight gain or weight loss, it's very important to know how much fluid is going into their body. So when you have patients that are strict eyes and oats, which is strict intake and output, which usually we want to know everything going in their body and out of their body, right? So this may be a case of someone who is retaining a lot of fluid, right? Someone with maybe some pulmonary hypertension or some fluid overload. We want to be able to take account, okay, this patient took in 500 cc's today and they let out 800 cc's, right? So we know there's a discrepancy. Or so that means 300 cc's is extra fluid that came out of them, right? So this is why it's very, very important to take account of the fluids that's entering into a patient's body. This is something that you may do casually, just maybe through documenting their meals and their lunch. Oh, this patient had 8 ounces to eat and they had 75% of their meals. Or this may be something that you are literally, you know, looking at a measuring cup and being very specific and saying, okay, they took in 20 ounces of this and they urinated out 700 ounces. So like I said, fluid measurement is going to be very important. Summary. Learn to use equipment safely and correctly for weighing and measuring residents. Accuracy is critical. Changes in measurements may indicate health problems. If you are unsure about safe and accurate procedures, ask your supervisor for help. On that note, like I said, you will get a better visual of how to perform out these skills in person. As for now, that is going to conclude chapter 6. Please make sure to go on to page 50 to do the reviews to test your knowledge.